become like Maduro in Venezuela. It just ain't gonna. Oh, sorry, hon. Left the door open. She's out in the other room watching TV.
Well, the worse things get, the more support we should get. And then the question becomes, you know, what are they going to do when we say goodbye?
Yeah. As it gets worse, but the all the everything's against us. People, they did a poll, and more than half the people never heard of Hunter Biden's laptop before the election. They did a poll after. No, they did a poll after the election, and more than half the people that never heard of Hunter Biden's laptop. They, I don't know. Government schools, even New Hampshire, the you know, there's no movement to get rid of government schools.
Not yet, unfortunately. We need more free staters to move here so we can have a chance at that. That's unfortunately, it seems like it's a ways off, but definitely I think a lot of us want to see that happen.
Yeah, even a lot of free staters send their kids to government schools. Oh, we got another guy.
Shameful.
And Mr. Penguin.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that.
Hello, Mr. Penguin.
Hi. How you guys doing?
You're muted, Penguin. See your mouth moving.
Hi.
There you go.
How you guys doing?
Good. Just chatting with Lloyd here about, you know, general things. Freedom movement, secession, that whole thing.
It says you're on the... Ian, it says... Or Ian, it says you're on the phone. How are you seeing his mouth? You got to...
Maybe oh, I can see the video. I'm just on my phone on the Jitsi app.
Oh, okay. I just turned my video on. I didn't think there's any sense in having it on, whatever. But like that.
So
it looks like it's a slow meeting today. I don't really have that much to say about any kind of New Hampshire exit news. There was a poll that came out, let's see, did I link it? Hang on. Another poll, I guess, because there was one a few weeks ago. I think it was Rasmussen, and then this one was Ipsos. This poll said it was like 25%, basically, of Americans support national divorce. Something like that.
Yeah, well,
25%, so.
I don't think anybody's under an illusion that it's going to happen immediately.
Yeah, but the point is there are polls being done. People are being asked about it. It is making national press, so that's good news. And then, of course, you've got Trump possibly going to be arrested on Tuesday. At least he said he was expecting to be arrested. So that may mean it's going to happen, and that could bring a few people our direction.
The prosecutor has sent a memo to his people saying that he's going to keep him safe when he arrests Trump. It's going to happen, or he's planning on doing it. Whether he does it or not, I don't know, but he's planning on doing it, and he's making preparations to do it.
Well, I do say...
Nice to be given a heads up.
It would be interesting if this is what led to New Hampshire independence, but I'm a little skeptical that's going to happen.
Not likely.
Yeah.
I had a job.
No, because the problem is a lot of the Republicans are going to double down and say, oh, we're just going to work harder to get Trump elected and try to retake the federal government. So we're probably only going to get some of the fence sitters. So we'll probably get some.
Maybe.
I had a job once cleaning up after violence. And until 2012... I didn't have any bloodlust at all. I've got a bloodlust now. I want to... Some of these people, I would shoot them if I could. get away with it. I've got no mark.
Yeah, that's not the answer. You know, violence isn't gonna help things. That's what they want you to do. They want you to get violent so they can hurt you.
Yeah, it's gonna be the only recourse if the 2024 elections are stolen again.
Well, no, that's not true at all. No, the recourse is peaceful independence. If you get violent or anyone gets violent, they'll just use you as the excuse for their next level of tyranny and their next level of oppression.
Yeah, it's going to be...
So don't let them tempt you.
Strategically, it's going to be counterproductive to introduce violence if you don't have the numbers anyway. So I don't know what position you're coming at it from. Are you a Republican?
I've been a libertarian since 72.
Oh, okay.
Actually, in 68, I tried to vote for Ayn Rand in North Carolina, but you couldn't vote for the person. You had to vote for electors, and we didn't have any electors. So wasn't able to vote for her. But so I've been a libertarian for a long time.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a slow process, but we've made more progress in the last decade than we've made in, you know, during the entire, you know, time, at least the Libertarian Party has existed nationally. So, yeah, there's progress.
I think the best thing we can do is get more freedom lovers to move here.
Exactly.
More libertarians to move here. And then every 2 years, we put forward the same ballot measure to ask people if they're ready to secede. And then hopefully we'll see increasing numbers of state reps being willing to support it. We'll do polling to ask the people in the meantime what they think, and just keep on building, because, you know, we can count on the federal government to get worse and worse. No matter who wins the election, it's going to get worse. And of course, the banking situation is going to help us. Whoever wins is going to make things worse. I mean, everything's going to work in our favor. It's just a matter of time.
I don't even know if, like, things getting worse is going to change things so much as I think we have a chance just by concentrating our numbers. You know, that seems like it's already working. I mean, you know, whether or not we're getting everything, I mean, obviously we're not getting stuff passed. We don't even have a third of the House yet, but it's working, right? I think it's working anyway. So we just
we got to concentrate, but it's the concentration that will help us persuade people.
Yeah, right.
We have enough people.
Right.
We still have to persuade our neighbors.
I think
we're never moving forward.
Yeah, and I think it's more than just the concentration. It's more than just the numbers that we need. We need to do things like freekeen.com, I think, is a perfect example. I mean, it's a microcosm of, like, media, maybe, but it is media, and it's things like that, you know, that.
What is it?
Freekeen, it's like a newspaper, like an online, it's a blog, but it regularly reports on stuff that's happening in New Hampshire, especially relating to liberty. And we don't really have, you know, we have mainstream media in New Hampshire, but it's mainstream media. They're never gonna give our voice, you know, they're not gonna let our voice be heard. So there's things like that that can, our own media, coming out with our own media and more of it, and the more people we have, the more of that will occur, and so over time you have more of an ability to sway people, even if you have a minority voice. So
that's why I think that the 24 election is going to be a make or break it for the woke characters, alternate media is getting bigger and bigger, but I mentioned earlier that over half the population did not know anything about Hunter Biden's laptop before the 2020 election.
Yeah, but remember, what percentage of the population turned out to vote in the first place? It's also very small.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess that was just the population, but the left has information is a make or break election for them, and they're not a, they know how to cheat, and they cheat.
Of course they do. Of course they do. You know, that's politics.
Okay. I wish the Republicans would learn to cheat the way they do, but it's like nonprofits.
Well, we've seen the Republicans running things, Lloyd, and they make the government bigger too, so I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, that's true. No, it matters. I mean, I thought it mattered. That's why I didn't vote for the Libertarian candidate in 2022. But he did say, don't vote for me, vote for the other, the Republican, before he left. Because, but, it's
yeah, that was a real shame that he did that. But, you know, that's what you call wasted vote syndrome, where you're so afraid of the other side that you are willing to vote against your principles. And so it sounds like they might have caught you in that one. But it, you know, probably didn't matter anyway, because one vote doesn't really make much of a difference. But the reality is, if you look at least at the federal level, I mean, you could argue the Republicans are better in New Hampshire, I think, than the Democrats on most freedom issues. Certainly not all of them. But at the federal level, they're just the same. I mean, the Republicans were running things for a couple years under Trump, and they didn't abolish the IRS. They didn't, you know, change anything. They didn't stop the warmongering. So, like, and they were in charge under Bush as well, and they made the government bigger. You got the Patriot Act and so on. So they don't care.
Yeah, and you know, you're not only are you right, but it actually, if you look at the tariffs Trump introduced that he then removed, that then Biden brought right back. I mean, it's like they do the exact same thing. I don't even know how you can say they're different. I mean, like in some slight ways, yeah, but nothing significant.
No, it's all just mythology. It's all just what they say when they're not in power. So right now, they sound like they care about freedom, but when you listen closely, you'll hear them saying things like they want to go to war with Mexico. They want to go to war with drug cartels. That's their new war on drugs. So rather than admitting the failure of the war on drugs and embracing ending the war on drugs and embracing the free market, which they, on the, you know, in another breath will claim to support, they want to actually start a hot war with the cartel in Mexico, which is the most insane drug war proposal that I've heard in my lifetime. But they're promoting that, and it's not just the ones that are running for office, it's the ones that are in office. They've actually got a bill in to authorize the military to start dropping bombs with drones in Mexico. Insane. So they haven't learned anything.
The free staters here are making common grounds with the Republicans. You know, I did, as you say, fall for that, for voting for Republicans because I was afraid of the other guys. And I don't think I fell for it. I think it was a smart thing to do, but I kind of knew it was useless. And there was two votes. My wife and I both voted for the Republican for Senator in Arizona, but in 20, you know, in
that was in
November elections, I would, I should probably vote for the Republican, unless it's, so, you know, unless it's a blowout.
So this was Arizona that you were voting?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, it's not going to make any difference either way.
No, but I mentioned earlier that I talked to Republican precinct captains and said the Democrats were cheating massively. You could see it even before there, and the stupid party didn't do anything. I call them the stupid spineless party as opposed to the evil envy party. But I told them about it, and I remember a long time some guy, a Republican in Reagan's administration in California, and he came to Washington with him. I think it's Meese, but I wouldn't guarantee it. He was told that the Republicans or the Democrats were the unions. He was told the unions were signing up nursing homes patients and voting for their vote. And he says, yeah, but that's such a small amount, it doesn't matter. That's too small to worry about. And look where Arizona is, or California is now. If you don't fight the fraud, there's no chance.
Yeah, I think of it as an equal opportunity situation. I mean, all sides can do it, so.
Yeah, but the left is much better at it than the other guys are. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's much more massive on the left because of the unions. And I was a union member. I was when I was still a productive member of society, I was in the union.
Well, the only election that matters to me is the one where people vote on independence.
Yeah, but the left is not going to let the cash cow leave. You're a cash cow to them, mooch milch cow.
Well, what are they going to do about it?
I mean, if you look at the poll data, the polls suggest nothing. Because what was it, like something like 3% want to go to war with New Hampshire if it left or something like that?
No more than 6% are willing to support a military invasion of any state that secedes. I think you're going to see a growing popularity from both the left and the right, and then it'll be an inevitability. I mean, they can't even take on a bunch of cave dwellers in Afghanistan. They're not going to have a chance against an armed populace in New Hampshire if they're going to try to use violence.
I disagree. They will. Part of the. I've always said that part of the reason they're doing all this woke junk in the military is because they want people who obey and not think and not be.
That's what they always wanted the military.
Yeah, but they're getting rid of everybody. They're trying to get rid of people on the right.
Well, the people on the right will obey too. I mean, the idea that the people on the right are somehow independent of following orders is absurd. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of the cops are on the right, and they do everything they're told.
There's also, you have to remember, there's a cost to maintaining a military in a, you know, a geographic area. So, like, you know, you don't necessarily have to. I mean, look at Afghanistan. They didn't exactly have a significant military. These as Ian was saying, they're cave dwellers, basically hiding out and taking pot shots, you know, here and there. And that's what did it. It just became too expensive, and the politics changed, and you know, the U.S. left. There's no reason to think that it would be any different within the United States.
Yeah, there is, because you don't have the religious fanatics like you had in Afghanistan.
Do you need to be a religious fanatic to want to defend your home from attack?
No, but you got to be have a martyr complex to attack a superior force, and.
But they weren't. They were doing. I'm trying to think of the type of warfare that they call it.
Guerrilla.
Yeah, but that's not. Yeah, they were guerrilla warfare, but it was. Who could hold out the longest? I forget what that's called, but it's basically taking pot shots at a larger enemy until you wear them out. Is like the definition of the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think I know what you talk about. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, if you spend less than your enemy, you know, it's a tactic, and if you can outlast them, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you even have to have like a real war. You can basically, Yeah, a war of attrition. Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah, I mean, you could have a war of attrition, and there's been so many wars that have been fought like that, you know, the larger enemy lost just because, you know, they're spending all this money to keep their troops in a place that, you know, if you can keep the costs up, and that's one of the things that they did in Afghanistan, is they kept the costs up by attacking construction workers trying to build a road around Afghanistan, for example. And the United States put in a ton of money to that, and you know, they failed, and eventually the money dried up and the politics changed, and you know, they won. You know, and it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong, you know, morally, you know, it's you have a war of attrition. The side that is able to outlast the opposition is potentially the side that can win. So I'm not sure it's all about, it's not, I don't think it's always all about numbers. Sometimes it's just about making it difficult for your enemy.
Yeah. But they had suicide bombers. That was their biggest weapon.
I mean, how many suicide bombers were there? I don't think there were that many in the end.
Well, they also had IEDs. Hey, Jason, welcome. How are you, dude?
You're muted. It's something where they would have to attack the state. Like, I mean, what else? What are they going to do? They're going to send in the military? I mean, they're going to start a war over it?
It's just an idea, as to try to get more support for it, you know, because I know some quarters think it's, I'm telling you, it's just awesome. So, yeah, that's that. And
I mean, it would seem like right now is the best time to be talking about this idea. You know,
people,
what was the objection? What did the committee say in you know, speaking against the bill in their blurb or whatever? What was their rationale for shutting it down?
Yeah, I don't have the actual, it's a little blurb, but basically it says this bill has been brought before this committee every year, every session for, you know, time immemorial. Not really, but probably about, I think it was 2010 or so. But this bill has kept getting brought forward because it's a good idea. But the lobbyists are so powerful, which we all know. I mean, banking lobbyists, come on, it really is. Who's, yeah. Anyway, so they go in there and then they just say, oh, it's not necessary, we don't need this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then people automatically think, oh, credit union. But no, they can't create money. Banks actually create money. So it's a little bit of a hurdle trying to get people to understand, and the fact that it just makes so much money for the state. Because every time you build something, it's half the price. You don't pay all the interest payments.
Yeah, so was that, did it actually happen that the bankers sent representatives to the committee to speak against it, or did they just figure they had it in the bag and they didn't even bother sending anyone?
I think it's a combination of the two, but there was the I don't know, the president of the something, I think maybe even call itself Community Bankers Association, but yeah, really. So get this, per 100,000 people, I think we talked about this, but in North Dakota, there's 12 community banks for every 100,000 people. The U.S. average is 2. And I believe that the other 4 states after that, it was like the top 5, I didn't look at the full thing. But point being is, the other one was, I think, at 5 after that. It's a very steep drop-off from North Dakota. So if you actually want to improve community banking, you know, like, so, it's a messed up thing, but I think I'm just going to get up there and talk about it. There's a Democrat that's supporting it that is willing to talk on it, too. So, hopefully, get it a little bit of a good showing, I guess. I don't know what's the real. I just think right now, with the whole SVB thing, let's put it all out there, at least officially.
Yeah.
Is this.
You know what I mean? Like, listen, these guys are printing all this bullshit. These banks are going to collapse again. You know what I mean? And just kind of outlay it, but in simple terms. So, none of these people can say, oh, we didn't know, because we all know it's going to get worse. And at least now, I don't know. You know, they always say ideas, you need to just always have them about, so when shit does hit the fan, you can kind of put them into play. So hopefully this turns into one of those things. But hey, what are you guys working on? Is there anything new and improved?
No, I didn't really have much to note this week. There was a new poll that was done nationwide that showed about a fifth to a quarter of Americans, depending on what party they're in, are supporting the idea of state secession and national divorce, that kind of thing. So it continues to be in the news, continues to be discussed, but my attention's been all on the banking situation in the last week. It's been interesting to watch.
So just quick question, totally unrelated. Is there still manipulation going on with the commodities? Because it seems kind of odd that gold hasn't spiked. And silver? Or is that just...
Yeah, I mean, gold and silver have been historically manipulated.
But is there a big discrepancy between spot and what you're actually paying? I haven't even been paying attention. Like, or is it really the same?
Oh, I mean, there's always a discrepancy. I don't know what it is at the moment. But yeah, I mean, certainly the people over at the Alpine Gold Exchange that just opened up in Manchester
had
177 calls. Yeah, I mean, their phone's ringing off the hook.
That's awesome.
There's a ton of people interested in that. Silver Dave, who's got a shop out in Weir, says he's been packed with people coming in buying silver. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of action on the purchasing side. But, you know, there's the manipulation of the prices by the big entities that are selling gold and silver on paper to keep the price down. So that's always been a historic problem with precious metals.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, so if you guys, you know, if you need anything, let me know. I'm actually focusing in some other, what?
Doing good work.
Oh.
I'm saying you're doing good work. Keep it up.
Trying. See what happens. Chris and other guy. I don't know who that is, but.
Lloyd.
We got Lloyd here.
Lloyd, yeah. What's going on?
Not much.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys get back to getting back.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out.
Have a good day, man.
Bye, too. Take care.
I'm going to head to the grocery store. You guys take it easy.
See you guys.
Yeah, see y'all.
Good day.